if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and northwest. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. When the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Running under the certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by boat. And which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. We being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. The third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. No small tempest lay on us, and all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." I'm going to stop the reading there, the 22nd verse of the 27th chapter of the book of Acts. Appreciate the Lord giving me a place to read, and you're hearing tonight. You can be seated. I want to look tonight for just a few minutes. If I had a verse that maybe just say something about it, I'm interested in what Paul has here said in the 21st verse of this chapter. After that, he has admonished the people. He has told the people that to sail would be dangerous. He's warned the people that what they're doing is not right. He makes a great statement here and says, "You should have hearkened unto me." I found out, Brother Willis, in the 10, 11 years I guess I've been preaching, one of the most perplexing things, Brother Toby, that I've been faced with as a young preacher is when that I know that I preached what God gave me. I know that I gave my heart to the people. I know I said to them exactly what God said. And yet they turned a hard heart and a deaf ear towards the Word of God and would not hearken unto me. I know that Paul was perplexed here. The Bible said that he had admonished them. They'd spent much time. The winds were contrary. Seemed like everything they set their hands, Brother Willis, to do, seemed like the winds of opposition blew against them. And they were in a situation that they couldn't get out of. They had done set sail. There's nothing. I want to say this tonight. Once you put your mind to doing something that's contrary to what God says to do, you're done afloat, mister, and there's not much backing out of it. You're just going to have to ride it out and deal with the repercussions many of the times. But Paul has here admonished the people. He's told them that you should have hearkened to me. Much time's been wasted. Verse number 4 said that much time had passed and sailing was now dangerous. Paul had insight to this. Some of you think the preacher's stupid for preaching some of the things that he says. Some of you think that the man of God's not got much sense for preaching like he does. But I'd say if a man has been called of God and has been anointed of heaven, he's got insight that you don't have. He knows things that you don't know. And you'd take some good tonight and do better in your life if you'd take heed to the preaching. Amen. Well, I'll say I thank God for good old time preaching. I'll say I thank God for every man of God that's ever stood behind the sacred desk of God. Told me like it was. Just preached like it was. Wasn't worried about the pulpit committee. Amen. Wasn't worried about the petticoat crowd. But it's worried about pleasing the God that called him to preach. Amen. Well, here it is now. Paul has admonished these people. And he's told these people here that you better take heed. Amen. How many times, preachers, have you preached and told your congregation something that God told you? And you turn around the next Sunday, they're doing the very thing God said not to do. How many times, preachers, have you said from your pulpit that we'll not tolerate this in our church? But the very next year rolls around, and that's the very thing they're wanting to do. You should have hearkened unto God's man. Amen. Well, me and Brother Dixon was We was talking here in front of the stage just a few minutes before service started. And if I'm not mistaken, he said he'd been here 44 years and preaching the Word of God. His message hadn't changed a whole lot, has it? Some of you probably thought he'd wear out. Some of you probably thought he'd quit or he'd grow soft in his old age. But here it is, preaching the same gospel. Here he is preaching the same message. And you've been just as hard-nosed and stiff-necked and rebellious to the will of God as you ever have been. Refusing to change. Refusing to take heed. But just as Paul told them that there's much harm going to come to the shield. You're going to suffer judgment and repercussion. And that you didn't realize it was coming, friend. Amen. And oh, it's happened where I pastor. And it's where you're at as well. God touched your heart then with a message in God. I've heard Brother Terry Pace say one time, one of the worst things in the world in his life was when he was so excited about preaching the message that God had given to him. But when he got done, he realized everybody else wasn't as excited about what he had preached. I know what that feels like. I know what it is to take a stand. And think that surely we'll move on. Surely we'll get closer. Surely we'll draw nearer. But when it comes down to the end, they're just as stiff-necked and just as rebellious as they ever had been. And it's reaping the repercussion in this churchy world. Amen. Oh, hell. I heard getting tapes from Brother Rob Scholl and getting CDs from Brother James Shaver gets y'all's a monthly deal that y'all send out, or weekly, or whatever it is. And heard Brother Dixon say one time that there would come a time when you could shop for men and women's clothing off the same rack. He said that we've lived to see the day, and that's right. Amen. But you look me over real well. But you just remember, all the time you're looking me over, I'm looking you over. Amen. And I'm still telling you that if we had hearkened to what God's saying, has told us down through the year, and if we do what God said and live like they said, dress like they said, pray like they said, and touch heaven like they said, we'd see our kind saved, and we'd see revival come like the church has not seen for years. You should have hearkened to me. Well, I can remember when I took this church I'm at, my first church of pastor. And I had it in my mind, Brother Dixon, that it heard me preach a couple of months and I'd preached my guts out. I mean, I didn't want no surprise. Some of you men yeller and you'll preach and tiptoe through the tulips as long as the pulpit committee's going to give you the job, and then you'll try to drop a bomb on them a few months later. I say just let them know where you stand to start, and if they like it, that's good. If they don't, you'll find somewhere else to go. Amen. That's right. And I told them what I thought about the way a woman ought to dress and how she ought to dress in the house of God and at Walmart. Amen. Well, some of you started out that route. I talked about a lady here, me and my wife did, that lived in the holiness fashion for 44 years of her life and took up wearing breeches and wearing shorts and everything else like Hollywood's crown would. God bless your heart, but it's still wrong, still wrong, still wrong. Never has been right, never will be. It's one thing for you to shout amen while I'm preaching. It's another thing for you to line up your life and hearken to what God's man says. Paul looked out yonder and he seen the danger. Now I'm going to tell you, Brother Dixon don't get up here and preach. These other preachers that have got up here and preached, they don't get up here and tell you all this stuff to make you sit up. They do, they need to quit. And they don't get up here to see how red they can tan your fanny. If they do, they need to quit. Amen. And they're not doing that because they're looking out over the seas and they're looking across the waters. They're seeing where the winds are blowing contrary and when they're not. They see when sailing's smooth and when it's not.
And if you'll let God's ordained man over the congregation direct the thing, you'll have smooth sailing most of the time. But when you're going to go in contrary to the pulpit and walk in contrary to God's man, you'll find out that trouble is coming down the road. Amen. And I don't preach this way because I'm in a meeting like this. I preach Brother Toby's church, and I can get you tapes of where I pastor from. I don't preach any different. If you don't like it here, don't come visit me if you don't like it there either. And that's right now. But as perplexing as it is for Paul to warn the people and tell them that you should hearken to me, how much more perplexing do you think it is that God would warn us time and again, and yet we don't hearken? Brother Willis made a reference to Adam and Eve in the garden, and he made a reference to them sinning there in the garden. I don't think I'd be adding to or taking away from, but the same God could have said, if he so chose to, you should have hearkened to me. But when their eyes were opened and their innocence was dulled, they realized that the God that spoke meant what he said. And you'll do the same, friend, when you go contrary to what he says. Amen. You should have hearkened to me. I mean, there have been times when I was a kid, Mama would say, don't touch that. And I'd say, why? And she said, because I said so. You heard that a time or two, ain't you? And I wanted a reason. I wanted to know why. And sometimes she'd tell me, sometimes she just flat wouldn't. It was because I said so. But if I went on and touched it, I found out why she said so. It was either because I'd get hurt or I'd get thrashed when I did it. Amen. And sometimes God's a telling. Sometimes I don't have explanation for why God puts on me the things He puts on me sometimes. As far as convictions or the way He expects out of me, I don't have all the answers. And sometimes, Brother Allen, I go to Him and say, why, God, you have to be this way. Sometimes He fails me. Others, it's just because I said so. And if I'll hearken to the voice of God, and if I'll take heed to what God says, it'll save us some trouble. It'll save us some heartache. Save us some judgment. After a while, you should have hearkened unto me. How many times in God's Bible did God's prophets stand and say what God said? And then people wouldn't listen. Don't you know it made Him sick? I tell you, your rebellion, man, makes Him just as sick. Sir, you as well. When we walk contrary to what God's told us and contrary to what God said, there ain't no sense you coming here and acting like you're all spiritual and you can shout the rooftop off. Brother J.A. Cook, I love your granddaddy. I mean, love that old man. I go sit in his barber shop and he'll cut my hair. And sometimes he forgets I'm sitting there and cuts too much. Amen. And I go sit and talk with him a while. He told me the very first time that I went and talked to Brother Cook, he said, I'm not a loud fella myself, Brother Shane, and I don't shout very much and carry on. He said, but I don't mind a whole lot as long as you jump real high but walk straight when your feet hit the ground. Amen. I'm still in the same notion. And if we'd hearken to what God said and hearken to what God's man said, if God's a leading, you all go wrong following. Amen. Heard Brother Milby say it like this: if the man of God come in and said, I heard from heaven, we ought to paint the walls pink polka dotted, then somebody ought to stand up and make a motion that they'd buy the paint and furnish the brush that makes the dots. Ain't that right? I tell you what you do. You'll give the man of God heartache and grief and rolling wakeless, sleepless nights in his bed, worrying over church splits and everything else over your stupidity. Amen. That's right. You're fussing and grumbling and griping. If you want to gripe, I tell you, go to Oprah Winfrey. She got enough trouble to deal with herself. You want to gripe, go down yonder to Hollywood's bunch and gripe to them. They ain't got no advice and they couldn't help you, but they might be a good ear for you to lean on. But don't put your garbage in God's man's ears. He's trying to keep all that cleaned out. He can hear from God. Amen. You should have hearkened unto me. Paul said, we ought not sail, boys. They said, we're going to sail. Paul said, we ought not to build a gymnasium, boys. They said, we're going to build. I thought I didn't think nobody'd shout right there, but that's all right. Paul said, we're going to use the King James Bible. And the deacon board said, you know it's NIV?
Yeah.
That's right. Well, I'm trying to hurry now. Before I dig a hole that y'all can't get out of. I'm not worried about getting out of it. I wasn't in it to start with. Amen. But I want to tell you, if you'd listen to God's man, man, quit all your... I tell you what, ma'am. You ain't got the notion on who's going to preach a revival. And you ain't got the notion as to the direction of the church, and neither do you, sir, if God ain't ordained you to be the pastor. But God puts men. He put Paul on that boat for a reason. He has taken him to Italy. It was predetermined for him to preach in Rome. And God is going to take him whether the crowd wanted to go or not. And if he had to sink the boat, if he had to break it to pieces and to get Paul where he's going, he still took care of his man. I encourage you preachers, if you are like I am, you look around, you see everything falling down around you. You do. I feel it falling. I feel the trembles underneath my feet, the crumbling walls around me. And it bothers me. It bothers me. This church pulled out of an association. My church is in a group, and they're not near as far gone as y'all's group was, but they're headed in a direction that I ain't liking. And I'll tell you, if I'm gonna do my dead level best to put a stop to it. But if it falls down around me, it ain't gonna shake me none. I got a hold of something that don't move. Bless his name. I stuck my feet on a rock in November of 1995 on a Sunday night at High Point Baptist Church. I've been solid ever since. Bless his good name. And I'm a walking hand in hand with him and determined to do so all the way home. Amen. Let the world shake. Paul wrote in one place in the Colossians, I believe it is, Paul wrote and said, I'm writing to you that you be not soon shaken in mind. Most everything goes, I'm in good health, and I ain't never had a whole lot of health problems except the fat, and I ain't got much, you know, blood pressure or nothing yet, and don't have much of no trouble, but I tell you, my mind bothers me. If there's anything that's going to shake me, it's going to be the things that this world is perplexing the church with, a pushing and a battering on the walls. They'd love nothing more than to come in here and to bust every bit of all this up. Brother Dixon making plans for a year ahead of now. But I tell you, as much as you're making plans for the next camp meeting, and you ought to, the devil's going to do his best in the next 365 days to tear it all slam to pieces. And if you've not got guts, gumption, and God about you, he'll tear it a thousand pieces, leave you and your children scattered here and yonder without a hope in this world. But if you'll stay and hearken to what God's saying, hearken to what God's man's saying, you can have a safe journey down this way. Amen. You should have hearkened unto me. I got a brother that's lost. And I want to see him get right. He's got himself in a mess. Married for about 5 years. And found out that Solomon was absolutely correct about lips of a flattering woman. I don't have to go into any detail for you to follow the rest. His home's broken. He's divorced and living in adultery now. And I called him and I tried talking with him. And when he didn't like my talking, he went to cussing. And when he went to cussing, I quit listening. And now here he is now, and his life's in a mess, and his home's in a mess, and I want so bad to say, John, you should have hearkened to me. You should have listened. I'll tell you what I'm liable for, Brother Dixon. I'm liable to preach it. I'm liable to tell it. To point you in the right direction and say, here's the way you should go. Over there's the way you should not go. You do whichever you choose. You're going to make up your own mind regardless of what I say. But I'm going to tell you, when you find trouble down the end of the road, the voice of this Baptist preacher and the voice of these other preachers that have preached ring in your ears in the night, and the voice of God saying you should have hearkened unto me. Amen. Brother Dixon, I'm done preaching. God bless you.